Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Those who are offended. Amen. Oh, yes. Those who are offended. One of the most common things that you will find in the church is offended people who do not admit that they are offended. Or shall I say, offended people who do not realize that they are offended. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace. That's the portion of those who are not offended. Therefore, great trouble, great sorrow is the portion of the offended. Listen to the word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Doesn't mean offense will not come. We saw last week, offense will come, but they will not be offended. By the time offense has come, people around them might be offended. But the Bible says nothing shall offend them. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you behave, nothing shall offend them. The reason why it's important that we become offense-proof is because of three things. Number one, life flows from your heart. Not from your hands. From your heart. And offense tackles the heart. That same heart where the life that is supposed to flow and, you know, bring your car, bring your house, bring your marriage, bring your ministry, all these things, God locked them up in your heart. Just like a spider has everything it needs inside itself. When a spider needs to build a house, the spider doesn't have to go and buy material. The material is with the spider. You too. What you don't realize is that the life you are looking for is inside of you. It's in your heart. Everything you want is already inside of you. It's already inside of you. Yeah. I hope you realize that we've never had to go to Mars to collect anything to bring on Earth. Everything Earth has ever needed for its existence is on Earth. And that is how God created everything, including you. Now, offense tackles your heart and spoils it. That's why it's very important that we become those nothing offense. That's what we are trying to work on this month. The second reason why offense is dangerous is because everything God will bring to your life will come through a person. Which will mean you have to become very good at managing relationships. Especially managing relationships for a long time. You might not need the person today, but you'll be surprised that that person will be needed tomorrow. But if offense has already canceled, blocked, destroyed the relationship, I'm sure you realize that tomorrow you're going to be in luck. That's why you can't allow offense to destroy every relationship God brings in your life. You have to learn to fight to maintain the relationship God has given you, especially the ones you can see for yourself, that these are good relationships. You must fight to maintain them. by learning how to deal with offense, how to manage offense. That's what we are trying to do this month. So that those important relationships can be preserved. I want to make a statement here that it is impossible to maintain relationships for years without having mastered, you know, without having learned how to deal with offense. Because you cannot be with people for a long time. It doesn't take long before offense starts. So for you to maintain relationships and good relationships for a long haul, you need to master the art of not getting offended. Or the art of recovering from offense quickly. You need to master. Number three, God does not operate outside of love. And this is very dangerous for us. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. However, faith works through love. Which means, no matter how much you pray, if there is no love in your heart, if there is offense in your heart, your faith that you are generating through prayer will not be able to work. I'm sure you've seen some people, they pray a lot, but they are broke. They pray a lot, but you can't live with them. They pray a lot. Not that pray. I hope you understand. I was just teaching you now about the importance of prayer. Like I told you that we must revive prayer. But I'm telling you that faith, which is the tool you use or the agency you use to get results in the kingdom of God, faith works through love. Meaning, no matter how much faith you have, oh, I'm trusting God for this, I believe God is going to do this, and those things are very important. But you might never see those things if the foundation is not love. And what is love? Forgiveness. There is, look, don't generalize love. Love is not kissing. Love is forgiveness. Just the ability to forgive people is what we talk about walking in love. Walking without offense. That's what it means. There are two places your love can be rooted in. Your love can be rooted in bitterness. According to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded, okay, your love can be rooted first in love, sorry. You being rooted and grounded in love, so you can be rooted in love. When you are rooted in love, your faith starts working. Your faith will work. When the roots, you see, you are a tree. Remember, I taught you a few months ago that you are a tree yourself, you are a tree. Now, every tree has roots. And the place where those roots are is what is very important. If the roots are in the wrong soil, the tree will be affected. So your roots can be in love. Meaning the foundation of this tree is that no offense will stay here. When something happens to me that is not right, I will fight to solve it. I will fight to forgive. I'll go before God. I don't know how many times I'll have to do it. But I'll go before God and ask Him to heal my heart. I'll forgive those that have hurt me. I will try to repair what I can repair. That is a foundation that my life, my roots are in love. Like I walk in forgiveness. I walk in love. The Bible now says in Hebrews 12, 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. So you find now that another tree can be rooted not in love, but rather in bitterness. That you are drawing from bitterness. You are drawing from that bitterness with that revenge, the desire to revenge yourself, the desire to prove a point. Like you are constantly, with the nutrients that your roots are taking are revenge, anger, hatred, jealousy, envy. That can be, your roots are currently on the bitterness part of the soil. And this thing is just spoiling the tree. No wonder the tree has no fruit. So I would like you to, as I'm just introducing myself this morning, I would like you to think about which root, I mean, where am I rooted? Am I rooted in love or am I rooted in bitterness? Where am I rooted? Because if I'm rooted in love, out of that love, I will pull patience. I will pull goodness. I will pull mercy. And a lot of other things. If I'm rooted in bitterness, jealousy, envy, hatred, revenge, especially revenge. Actually, the tree is still standing because it is waiting for the revenge. That's the only reason why the tree is still standing. Like I'm just waiting for the revenge before I give up the ghost. Are you listening to me? Offended people can easily become disloyal. And this is what I was teaching you last week. That offense is not a neutral state. Never. Satan maximizes on offense because offense gets you on a road to execution. So it is very vital that you understand that Matthew 24 verse 10, I'm just recapping from last week. First of all, we know from Luke 17 verse 1, this is a very important thing, that offense will come. Tell the person next to you, you just wait, it's coming. If it hasn't come already. Yeah. If there is no offense, it means you are in heaven already. So. Then that is not good. Especially, you understand, you are not yet married. You haven't done a few things. And you're already in heaven. I don't know. You see, so, but if you are here with us, if you are here, down here, offense is coming. That's what Jesus said. Luke 17 verse 1, he said to his disciples, offense will certainly come. Certainly come. Offense will come. In that church where you are, you see, offense will certainly come. In that cell group you belong to, offense will certainly come. I know you are one of the dancing stars. Yeah. Offense will certainly come. I know you sing in the worship team. And when you guys are singing, it looks like heaven has come down and all the archangels have joined you. But in the midst of the archangelic visitation, offense will certainly come. I'm saying it in a jokingly fashion, but when offense arrives, it's not funny at all. You understand? That the moment offense arrives, it's no more a joke. You start seeing things that you never thought you could see. So please listen carefully. So that first of all, when offense comes, you should be able to say, is it it? Has it come? You should be able to ask yourself that question, is it it? Has it come? Do you understand that? You need to ask the person when the things start, the atmosphere start getting charged. The things, like it's no more like before. The moment you are in the rehearsal, and the rehearsal is no more like before. Do you understand? Like the flow is no more there. There's tension. There's strife. Just ask your choir master or whoever. Is it it? Has it come? Could it be that somebody is offended here in this place? It's important. These are important questions you should ask. Could it be that I am offended? Could it be? Could it be? Today's message, 7 things that can offend you. 7 things. a lot of things, listen, a lot of things will offend all of us. And if we have to go through all of them, I mean, remember I told you last week, like, different things offend different people. Do you understand? Like, there are certain things that, you know, you just get offended, you know. But I want you to know the seven major things that in your Christian journey on earth will be one of the ways and the doors or the windows through which the enemy will attack you with offense. And I believe that even though I'm just still introducing the subject of offense, we have, by the way, 5 weeks this month to cover offense. So I still have about 3 weeks to go. But I'm already giving you the problem, but providing little solutions there and there. But I promise you, I won't leave you hanging. You will have proper tools to use against offense. But this morning, for the time we have, let's look at seven things that can actually offend you. Yeah. John 6, verse 61, NLT. The Bible says, Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, does this offend you? This is a very important question. Does this offend you? You need to know the things that offend you, or the things that have the capacity or the potential to offend you. You need to know them. It's just that, you see, the reason why offense has been working so powerfully on us is because we've never really taken the time to study the subject, and we've never really thought it was a major thing. You understand? But I've showed you last week that offense sets you up to disloyalty. As a matter of fact, chances are when you are offended at a person, you are never seeing them the same way again. You don't talk to them the same way anymore. It takes a lot of work to restore a relationship where offense has beaten somebody. It takes a lot of work. Things are usually never the same. They're never the same. So you see that this particular snake, as soon as it has beaten somebody in the relationship, the venom sometimes stays forever. Yeah. You might not realize how much offense has destroyed churches. You might never realize how much offense has destroyed friendships, praise and worship teams, dancing stars, singing stars, drama stars, ushers. You might never understand to which extent this thing has destroyed people. Because they were not equipped to handle it. They don't know what to do when they are offended. And they don't even know that they are offended. So let's quickly touch on this point this morning. Number one, being corrected can offend you. Being corrected. You must know that, you see, human beings, I told you last week, that human beings don't like being corrected. Because everybody feels that they are nice. Do you get it? Like, everybody feels they've got it all together. Everybody feels they are trying their best. So when you now come and you start saying to somebody, look, you've messed it here. This is not right. You see, it's not everybody that takes it. In fact, most people don't take correction well, including yourself. And you need to know something. When you don't take correction well, there are three reasons. Number one, you could be immature. An immature believer will not take correction well. Because they will perceive it as, you don't love me. You hate me. That's how they perceive the correction. Like, I mean, what have I done? Why are you always picking up on me? Why me? So when you are immature as a believer, meaning you just started your journey with Christ, or you haven't gone through a number of things with your life, and you are still like a virgin land. Do you understand? So correction will not sit well with you, because for you, you are okay. You are good. The second reason why correction might not take well, when you are deceived. A deceived person will not take correction well, because they don't feel it's necessary. Like they understand what you are trying to say. What, like from the moment you start, they say, you know, no, I understand. So it's to say, just let's just end it here. Don't push further. I understand what you see. They are deceived. They are deceived into thinking they understand. They are very deceived. And that's why when you start hammering deeper that nail, they start taking it very, very personal. You see, the Bible says that let anyone who thinks he knows must know that he doesn't know, as he ought to know. Now, a deceived person thinks he knows exactly what you are about to correct him about. He understands that he made a mistake, and he understands that he missed it there and there. So let's just move on. There's no need to have another meeting to discuss this matter. There's no need for you to talk more on this thing. I understand what you are trying to say. But I want to tell you something. You don't understand everything. And that's a sign that you are deceived. You are very deceived. And I want to tell you something. A lot of you are deceived. And this is what has deceived you. You see, you know what has deceived you? Applause. Compliments. Now show me out there the number of people that are willing to correct you. Even when you are clearly in the wrong. Oh no, it's okay. It was nice. No, you did well. Our daughters, nobody tells them this is wrong. Everything they wear is nice. Every hair they do is nice. Everywhere they go is nice. Everything is nice. Now you can imagine the problem you start having when you now are coming and you are saying it's not nice. You are saying that what they did was wrong. This person is used to, oh my God, everything is great. Everything is powerful. Now they make tea. And the tea they make is like water with mud mixed together. But you cannot say anything. So listen, the applause and the compliments have deceived us. And they have set us up for offense when corrected. Number three, pride. Pride. People who don't take correction well, if you check deeply, there's pride. Proverbs 15 verse 10, the Bible says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. That correction is grievous. Correction is grievous. There's something that, when you correct him, he's grieved. He's mad. He's not taking it well. You see, in front of you there, he's doing as if, yeah, I understand. But he's boiling inside. And he can't wait to leave your presence to really show his true emotions. He leaves that correction session hating you, taking a stand against you, that as far as he is concerned or she is concerned, you will never see them again. Because they feel it's a personal, you have attacked them personally. It's a personal attack. That's why, my brothers and sisters, it takes a lot of maturity and humility to receive correction. You haven't received correction if you are taking offense. You haven't received correction if you are justifying yourself. You are being corrected, but you are already justifying why you did what you did and why you don't think it's necessary. I mean, like, you are just all over. Even if you are not justifying yourself, you know, openly, but internally, you have a lot of justification, a lot of reasons why, you know and I don't think Shepard understand why I did this. I don't think so understand. I know if only they knew where I was coming from and where I was going. Oh. So you are not receiving the correction. You are not receiving the correction. And we saw last week that he who hates correction hates his life. Number three, you are not receiving correction if you are waiting for an opportunity to retaliate. And you know how you guys retaliate? You retaliate by not showing up at the next meeting. You just disappear. You retaliate by starting to, you know, work on other people's heart. And you start having more people that are of the idea that, you know what, this particular thing. Like, you are still there, but you are doing another work. You are doing something else underneath. So you are waiting to retaliate, or you are already retaliating, even if it's not openly, that you are doing certain things. You have taken certain actions that you didn't used to do before, but now you are doing because you got corrected. And ever since you got corrected, your attitude has changed. You are coming for meetings, but you are not the same person. In those meetings, you are not the same person. So you need to really ask yourself a question this morning. And I want you to be honest with you, because this is not, I'm not here for a show. I'm trying to help your soul. Because I know that these are the reasons why people run away from churches. These are the reasons why people leave the church. These are the reasons why people leave the worship team. These are the reasons why people stop paying their tithe. These are the reasons why friendships don't work. Because you were corrected. You were told something was wrong with what you were doing. And you didn't take it well. You didn't take it well. You brought two people and you had said you were going to bring five people. Now nobody must ask why you brought two people. If you ask why you brought two people, you get offended. No, nobody must ask you any questions. We saw you in a corner at night with somebody, and we don't know the person, and we mustn't say anything. We must not ask any questions. If we ask a question, you are offended. You feel we don't trust you. No. You feel we don't trust you. Why are they asking me such questions? Am I a child? Do you take correction well? That's the question I'm asking. Do you take correction well? Let's all admit, even me teaching now, that when God is correcting me, I'm not usually happy. That's true. It's human nature. We don't like it. We like praises. The Bible says every man proclaim his own goodness. Not his own weakness. His own goodness. That's how we are. So you are not the first. I'm just making you aware that if we don't work on this thing, it is an opportunity for offense. Correction is an opportunity for offense. Pastor uses us as an example during the service. He's preaching, and then he just picks you, and then he starts saying things, and people are laughing. And as you are standing there, you are also laughing, but in your heart, you are slapping him, and the teeth are flying. Yeah. You see? That's why even as preachers now, we are careful to know where to go for our example, because before you realize you have lost a soul. You have lost a soul. Or you have lost your own head. Like John the Baptist. Number two, being rejected can offend you. Being rejected can offend you. John 1, verse 11. He came to his own. He came to his own people. And even they rejected him. Another version, a New American. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. Did not accept him. Brothers and sisters, I think if we put the stages of disloyalty in front of us, offense is the most dangerous stage. And if you put the seven things that can cause a person to be offended, rejection is the most bitter of them all. What is rejection? Well, I wrote some stuff here. Rejection is a feeling of, you know, it's a feeling of not belonging. You feel like, hey, I don't belong. I want to belong, but I feel like I don't belong. I don't feel like I'm a part of what is going on. Hey, that thing is bitter. It's painful. How many of you have experienced that thing where you want to belong, but it feels like you can't, you don't belong at all. You don't belong. My God. And as I'm saying this thing, I'm just feeling. Rejection is a feeling of being left out. You are left out. You are left out. I remember I watched a program on YouTube, and Fred Hammond is an American gospel singer. He was in his yacht. It's a boat. So, and these guys had come to his yard. And at that time, Mighty Men, was it Mighty Men or King? The Kingsman tour was going on. The Kingsman tour was organized by Fred, who's this guy? Kirk Franklin. So Kirk Franklin, he took Israel Houghton. He took Donnie McLean and a few others. And he didn't take Fred Hammond. So these guys, I think that thing hit Fred bad. So he left his flat, he left everything and went to his yacht. He was just there. And those guys came there. And they asked him, how do you feel? This thing is going on city by city, state by state. And I always remember his word. He said, no, it doesn't feel good to be left out. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. It's not a good feeling to see your people and you are not there. To see your group and you are not there. Are not considered. It's like you don't qualify. Rejection is a feeling of being outside. while looking inside through a glass. Have you seen that before? You are outside the house and you are looking inside the house where the real action is taking place through a glass. But you can't be inside. But you are looking longingly from outside. Rejection is bad. Like I'm saying, if we don't learn how to deal with rejection, it's usually the highway to offense. Like this one. Correction, you might survive. But rejection can leave a scar in your spirit that even years later, you are still struggling with this thing. Rejection. I'm trusting God that before this particular message is over, I've prayed for us that God will really minister to us and to our hearts. Because these are the things, when we learn to deal with these things, things start changing in our churches, things start changing in our marriages, things start changing in our relationships, things become matured and stronger. When we learn how to deal with these things. But I just want to help you to know certain situations that also kind of like they facilitate rejection quite quickly. Like when you are in this situation, the chances of you being rejected, they just skyrocket. One of those situations is when you are in a friendship relationship that is a three-way relationship. A three-way. And you know, many of us have been in such type of relationships where you are three friends. Do you understand? And when you are three, you must know that usually among you three, do you get it? There seems to be two that flow more than the one. Woe unto you if you are that one. Then it's bad. You get like, and sometimes they even gang up. They gang up against the one. Like just naturally, they just naturally flow. You have to push to flow. I was in such a friendship before. Yeah, I was in something like that before. Very, very painful. Very, very painful. I tell you, these guys will start talking about cars from the moment we get in the car till the moment we reach the destination. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. I don't know any X, any M, any nothing. I don't know nothing. No series. No clue. So naturally, they just flow. And I'm just envying this flow they have. I only had my moment when one of them couldn't make it. If one of the two don't make it, then I can shine small. Then the conversations will also be around what I know. But as soon as he's back, it's finished. Saye. I'm out. Even if they just went to buy food, and during the time they went to buy food, I had that moment to talk with the other one. As soon as they returned, the one I was talking to forgets me. Then they focus now. Oh, it's bad. I said, look at these people. Just now, we were flowing. As soon as this guy comes back. A three-way friendship. Very dangerous. Check it. Maybe that's why you are so offended. Because, you are constantly hurt. It's because you are only three. You need a fourth person in that thing. Or leave them. Just leave them. I get it? I get it, they are flowing. Leave them. Go find your own. It's dangerous to be in a place where you are just tolerated. You are just, you know, you are just, you are just trying to keep you around. You can easily feel rejected if you are a foreigner. If you are a foreigner, you will feel the rejection. Even though people might not intentionally want to reject you, but because you are the only one among so many people that are flowing, do you get it? You will feel rejected. You will feel it. You know, a lot of you don't know something about Judas Iscariot. Do you know that Judas Iscariot was the only disciple that was not from Galilee? Did you know that? Judas Iscariot was from Jerusalem, Judea. The only disciple. All the other disciples, including Jesus. Do you get it? They were all from Galilee. They were from the north. And Judas was from the south. I'm sure you remember that when Peter was denying Jesus, a person told him, even your language is betraying you. So which means the Galileans speak in a certain way. So which can also now mean that many times when they are speaking, and when now Judas also comes and says something, I mean, you can just clearly see that this guy is from Mars. He's from Mars. He's just out. He's out. So this thing hit him hard. He was not among them. And you now can imagine, who did he betray Jesus with? His people. The guys from Jerusalem. These are his guys. Like, he flows with these guys. Do you understand? Like, these are the guys that when they are talking, he understands the talk. Yeah. That's why they went straight for money, because Jerusalem was an economical city. So when they took money, he understands money. He was in charge of the money because he was from the city. So even Jesus respected the fact that Judas Iscariot understands money. Do you get it? So when you are a foreigner in an environment, you must always know that your chances of being rejected are very high. I know what I'm talking about, 100%. Yeah. Number three, your skin color. If your skin color is not matching, like you see that the skin colors, the tones, the tonation, it's the variances of the tonations. It seems like the pigmentation. It's like the certain pigmentation flow. Do you get it? Or you haven't seen it before, that it seems like these people, they are flowing together like this. I mean, it makes even more sense in our country here in South Africa, where we are preaching from, that, listen, if you are a black man in a taxi full of white people, look, no matter how strong you are trying to be, the Africans that will be moving all around you, you will feel that you are not here. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You feel it. And if you are a white man in a township . I don't know what you are doing there, but what you will not survive. You cannot survive well. I'm telling you. You will feel something that you've never felt ever since you were born. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Come on.
Mm. If you are less educated than the rest of the group, people are talking PhD, people are talking a diploma, people are talking matric, people are talking this, and you don't have such thing to say. No matter how you try, it will affect you. That thing will affect you. If you are from a different tribe, and another tribe is all over, you are at Motswana, and you are surrounded with Xhosas or Zulus. Look, they don't mention your Tswana at all. It's like you are wasting your time. Do you understand? They are calling you, come up to our level. So you feel rejected. If you are the only woman in a place where there are men, how you feel it? I'm telling you that these are things that will set you up for rejection. You are the only woman that is doing this. The rest are boys. The rest are guys. Oh, it won't be easy. Or vice versa. You are the only man surrounded with women. I pity your case. How about this one? You are really not a full family member. You are in the family, but you are really, you yourself, you know that you are not a full family member. You are either a stepchild, an adopted child, or the child of the uncle that was brought in because of circumstances of life. The type of rejection you're going to feel in that house if people's hearts are not changed. Oh. So if you are that type of a child, stop setting yourself up for further rejection. Just understand that based on my condition, this will happen to me. I should rather learn how to fight it back. That's what you should learn to know, that how am I going to respond when things like this are happening? Because it is bound to happen. The children that own the father and the mother, even though they are your siblings, you know, somewhere, somehow, they will make you feel it. Don't hate them. That is high risk. Anyway, it's like that. If you are the only serious Christian in a company, a group, you are the only Christian there, what are you expecting? You are expecting applause. Oh, they make you feel it. They make you feel it. You feel that you don't belong. They reject you proper. And when you are trying to join them, meanwhile they are helping you by rejecting you. They are expelling you. They are exiting you. That no, you are pushing. No, I want to be with. No. They just start to talk now. You don't understand what they're talking about. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You are the only Christian. Oh, you are the only serious. I mean, there are many Christians, but you are the only serious one. The one that prays in tongues. The one that goes to church every Sunday. The one that invites others to come to church. And you become very odd. Yet you are the right person. Lastly, when you are replaced by another beloved in a relationship, have you seen those soccer matches where the referee is, you know that guy, he lifts the numbers, green and red. And just, you are in the field, you are playing, you are sweating in the field. Then you look at that screen. It is your number that is red in that thing. Change.
Change, change, change.
I tell you, this thing can hurt you. And you can live to, for years. You ask, what was wrong with me? What was wrong with me? What didn't I give? Where did I miss it? And I've already told you before, when you ask your ex, they say, there's nothing wrong with you. It is me. So you should already know that we never hear the story. It's not you, it's me. You are fine. These are the things that offend us. You are in the worship team, I tell you. But in that worship team, there's this one and this one. They flow more with the leader. You don't see what's going on there. Like, you are in another world. You are asking yourself, what are all this? What's going on here? What's going on here? Like, the dice never fall in your favor. Never. These are the things that offend. These are the things. People feel rejected in the church. They are rejected. They feel that they don't belong. Something is not matching. And some believers are wicked. Like they know what they are doing to you, and they are doing it. They are doing it. They are doing it. They are doing it. Remember, I told you about that tree group. When they discover that they're flowing and you are not flowing, one is insecure. He will make you feel. She will make you feel. Maybe the other is just innocent. They don't even know what's going on. But usually there are two that know what's going on. And it's happening at ABC. These things are happening at ABC. They're happening. And it's time to break these things from our midst and pull out of these things and start learning to love one another and receive one another and care for one another. Number three, being undermined can offend you. Being undermined. Number one, being corrected can offend you. Number two, being rejected can offend you. Number three, being undermined can offend you. Being undermined is being made to feel small, insignificant, less or no value, unimportant. Yeah. When somebody is making you feel, you are feeling like you are being undermined by somebody, either by their words, by their behavior, by their attitude, you are feeling undermined by this person. I tell you, if God doesn't help you, the way you're going to turn is not going to be nice. Because the fact of the matter is that we all have our little ego, all of us. Everybody that is watching this morning, we all have our little, like I said, every man proclaim what? His own goodness. So when a person is making you feel like you are nothing, it's not nice. You are made to feel like you are small. You are made to feel like your contribution is nothing. Like, look, you are not contributing nothing here. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are undermined. I remember I got a call a while back from a young lady. She was calling me to ask for help. And then she asked for my email. And you know, if you know my surname, you know that my surname is not a small thing to deal with. And I gave her, because now to give you my email is my name and my surname. And she's asking for help. Mind you, she's asking for help. And as I'm now helping her by giving her my email address, I could pick up in the way she was, as I'm giving her the email and she's feeling it's too long, the way she's behaving on the phone, I feel she's undermining me. I feel she's undermining my surname. Then she feels my surname is nothing. And then she turned around, she said, you know what, let's make it easy. Let me give you my email and then you send me the thing. I felt very undermined. But I contained myself. I took her email. And I emailed her. I tell you, but I can never forget that incident. Because, you know, when you feel undermined, it comes from small, small things. Just the way a person is acting to in front of you. Just the way a person is answering you back. Or, you know, just anything. You can be, you know, you start feeling like, you know, you start feeling small. You start feeling something is wrong. You are being undermined. And I know this thing because I didn't feel good. I think I'm still healing from that girl's things. Because actually, it was just a simple conversation. But the way she made me feel has stayed with me, you see. So, could it be that I got offended? Lord, help us. But I'm telling you, these things are real. This is what's happening to us. We are undermined all the time. But now, the more I'm learning about offense, I'm realizing, hey, man, this thing, we live in a very offensive world. And we are offended, like, continuously. And if your heart is not well prepared, I tell you, these things can destroy you. I tell you. May God help us.
Amen.
Number four. Seeing greatness can offend you. You'd be surprised that you witnessing somebody being lifted, you witnessing somebody doing well, you witnessing somebody increasing, you witnessing somebody being promoted, you witnessing somebody getting married. You witnessing somebody being shown love. Instead of inspiring you, it can rather offend you. I think I'm not talking to the right church now. It's like now, all of a sudden, I'm no more talking to the right people. I'm telling you the truth. This is something else. Mark 6, 2-3. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. People were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Where did he get this? And what wisdom is this? Which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands. By the way, is this not the carpenter? What's going on here? Is this not the son of Mary? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. You'll be surprised that seeing somebody you thought you knew, that you thought you understand everything about this person, all of a sudden he's rising. What's going on? You see, when you don't know the person, it can affect you, but maybe not that much. But the way it affects you when you know the person, this is Pascal. Why are people using the profile picture of this guy? I mean, what's going on here? Has it bewitched the people? It is something else. When people know you, when people have seen you, and now grace has located you, they don't like it. They don't like it at all. You will think that these people were excited that one of their own was being lifted. One of their own was causing the Capernaum to be known and recognized. But no. This guy, I mean, we know you. What's going on? They took offense. Luke 7:22-23. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." What a way to end a report. You are reporting that deaf people are rising, blind people are seeing, but you are making a very contradictory statement. Blessed is he who is not offended. Could it be that John got offended? Could it be that a pastor can get offended at another pastor because the other pastor is succeeding and he is not? Could it be that a member can get offended at the testimony that the other member just gave? The deaf are raised. The blind are seeing. This could be something that is exciting all of us. But you will be surprised. You will be surprised that good thing that is happening is agitating jealousy and making a person envious. You'll be surprised, I tell you. You'll be surprised. We are living in a cursed world. Success is rare. Whenever it appears, it draws all the attention. Not just the attention of the admirers, but also the attention of the offenders. The offended. Not everybody is happy when something good is happening. Even in the family. What did Joseph do? The Bible says in Genesis 37 verse 4, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. So Joseph was experiencing success more than the rest. Whenever you are that star that seems to shine brighter than all the other stars, I tell you, you will draw a lot of admiration, but equally too, a lot of hatred. It's just the way it is. But they couldn't say a kind word to him. What did he do to them? Nothing. He was just a dreamer. And his dream offended them. A 12-year-old boy that is dreaming things. And old people are offended.
People with children and possibly grandchildren are offended at a small boy who is just telling his dream.
Greatness can offend you. Greatness can offend. Greatness has a way of stirring up jealousy and envy. Why did Cain kill Abel? Jealousy. Simply because Abel seems to be doing well and he is not doing well. And he got offended that God chose and accepted the sacrifice of Abel and rejected his. He didn't like it. Even when God was trying to coerce him back, it wouldn't work. Took the brother in the field, cut his throat. And I've taught you last week, offense leads to betrayal, leads to hatred, leads to what? Murder. These Philistines that got offended at Jesus, the Pharisees, that got offended at Jesus. Who killed Jesus? The Pharisees. So as you are allowing greatness to offend you, just be careful. Because you could start killing by your words, by your suggestions, by your actions. And if I can just suggest something to you this morning, you can never have what you attack. I think I've said it to make it run better for you. You cannot attract what you attack. Never. Stop getting angry at rich people. You will never be rich. When they are driving past you, you are angry. People you don't know. Have you seen how we react? You don't know the person. But just because they are driving that car, you are giving them some serious anger. In fact, your day is spoiled. Just because you saw that car pass there, you are very unhappy. Yeah. Love other people's success and success will come your way. If you are constantly fighting people's success, success feels, you don't like me. So let me play far from you. Let me pray far from you. Greatness. We are all called to be great. Now, if you are attacking other people's greatness, how will others celebrate yours? And you don't have to take another person down for you to go up. No. You must remember, there is a place for all of us at the top. It is at the bottom here that we are all struggling. There's no traffic up. Anyone that is interested can go up. It's free. It's free. It is down here that there's too much commotion. And when somebody finally gets up, you see that it draws the whole attention because there's not so many people are up. But it is not to say nobody can be up. You can also rise up by doing the right things. Praise the Lord. So stop being angry and fighting your sister in the church because she's wearing this new pair of shoes now that you saw in the magazine. It's like she is living your dream. Have you seen those people that seem to be living another person's dream? You saw a hair. You even marked it. By the time you come to church, she's wearing the hair. You saw a brother in the church and you started praying in secret that the Lord should remember you. By the next Sunday, they are holding hands. I hope you realize that it's not easy to say thank God, praise the Lord. That is something you were hoping for. This is what is going on with us in the church. But God is bringing healing this morning in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Number 5, being dismissed can offend you. Being dismissed. That you are somewhere, you are working there. You are working in a department in the church. You are doing something. And then they've shut you down. They say, no, no more. You're no more doing this. Sit down. You are dismissed and you are sacked. And you're not taking it well. You used to do announcements. And maybe you did something that pastor didn't like. And pastor sacked you. After pastor sacked you, the things you have said in your heart, so be careful of being dismissed. Because you can get offended by being dismissed. The reality, however, brothers and sisters, is that we cannot establish a strong church without making hard decisions. Never. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 4, the king by judgment establishes the land. By judgment. But he that receives gifts overthroweth it. He that receives bribes destroys. A weak leader receives bribes. What are the bribes of a weak leader? Compliments. And when he is receiving these compliments, he can never take hard decisions, harsh decisions. And because of that, the church is weak. Because of that, the department is weak. Because of that, because this leader will want the praises. You want to please everybody. You want to make everybody happy. So that will cause you to never sack anybody. Even when people are clearly misbehaving, you can't sack them. Because you are Mr. Nice Guy. You are Mrs. Nice, Mrs. Pretty Girl, or whatever. Mrs. Pretty Girl cannot make harsh decisions. Mr. Nice Guy cannot sack anybody. He will just say, please don't do it next time, okay? And God bless you, right? We are flowing, right? God is faithful, right? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Look at the stupidity. I want you to be ready to be sacked. And when you are sacked, you should be happy. Because when you are sacked, it's a good thing. It means that something is being fixed. Something is being fixed. If we are afraid to sack you, it means if you are a wrong person there, the whole thing is going Titanic. 120,000 feet under. And this is what is going on. Once a person starts misbehaving and you want to sack them, just the way they start giving you the vibes, yourself you can feel, I think, let's just have a small one-on-one and correct it. People are misbehaving, you can't sack them. You are doing people a great favor when you sack them. Yes. You sack. And when you sack them, many times it's a wake-up call. Because something worse was about to happen to them. By sacking them. You know, have you seen people, when you sack them, they were misbehaving in the company. And you sack them, they'll go home. After they spend 2 weeks there at home, no taxi, their minds, you know what? The next job I get, I will fix myself. I'll behave well. I'll come early.
They are misbehaving because they know you cannot sack them. Many wives misbehave because they know they can never be sacked. They can never be sacked. And it's dangerous to be a person that can never be sacked. Because if you cannot be sacked and you start misbehaving, it means the misbehavior can never stop. It will take grace upon grace. That's why Vashti was sacked. She was sacked. She was sacked. She was sacked. She was sacked. My daughters, I love you. So make sure that you don't become Vashti. Nobody wants to sack. Do we want to sack? We don't want to sack anybody. So you also don't now say, aha, because I cannot be sacked. I will do as I please. I will do as I please because I cannot be sacked. Number six. Being told the truth can offend you. Being told the truth. Matthew 15 verse 12. Then the disciple came to him and said, do you realize that you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Do you realize that you offended these people by what you just said? And Jesus is the truth. He's just speaking the truth, and people are busy getting offended and agitated. Even the things I've been saying ever since I started preaching this morning, I'm sure I have offended a few people already. Lord, help me this morning like this. As I'm standing, I must apply the blood of Jesus on myself. I tell you. We love your preaching day. We love it. If you cannot be told the truth in love, I understand. Because some of you are saying that, Pastor, in love. In love. Yes, truth in love. But if you cannot be told the truth, then you will continue in deceptions and delusions. Unfortunately, many people, you're trying to tell them the truth, they are offended. Why is he saying that? What is he saying? What does that mean? What is he implying? So all this long, this is what all this while, this is what he's been thinking. Ooh, it become another meeting, and another meeting, and another meeting. Just because you say something here, you've unlocked a year of meetings. By the time they are done with you, you are asking for forgiveness. Like, meanwhile, yeah, because that's the only way to end the meetings. Is that they are offended at the truth. You need to ask for forgiveness. I'm very sorry. I think I misread the thing. I think it didn't go well. Let's just move on. Lastly, seeing your leader's troubles can offend you. Seeing your leader's trouble can offend you if you are not careful. Mark 14, verse 12. Jesus said unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. This night, all of you will fall. You'll be offended. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. You must know that Satan's aim is always the main person. And if you have a deluded mind about your leader, Satan will quickly offend you through your leader, because your leader is not an angel. Your leader is not perfect. Many things will go wrong with him or with her. But unfortunately,
a lot of church people are not trained in handling the troubles of their leaders. They are not trained. They don't know how to handle when they hear something concerning their leader. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to react to it. And they get offended by what they heard. And they just take off. Jesus is telling his disciples here, all of you tonight, you will be offended. Not because of anything, because of me. Me like this. Things are going to happen to me and they will offend you. Things are going to happen to me and they will affect you. Things are going to happen to me and you dissociate yourself from me. You say you don't know me, you've never seen me before in your life. Now, if they mention your name and my name somewhere, you say, hey, no, there, no. I don't know anything about that. I just used to visit there, but I was never a member there. In fact, I don't know what's going on there. Even me, I've been asking myself, like, what's going on there? Yeah. I was very concerned, actually. I was praying about it. And that's why I pulled out. Yeah. The troubles of your leader. The troubles of your leader can offend you. It can change your heart. It can affect you. It can affect you. If your heart is not in the right place, by the time this thing happened to Jesus, the Bible says they all deserted him. Those who could run, those who couldn't run, everybody ran. It's the truth. It's the truth. You see, when your leader is trying, it's nice. But you must know, every leader has his share of persecutions. And when your leader's persecutions begin, that is when we now know, what is your stand? What is your stand? What is in your heart? When your leader enters Gethsemane, you enter Gethsemane too. And in Gethsemane, we'll see what is in you. Because your leader gets arrested in Gethsemane. When Gethsemane comes, it finds that some of you were sleeping when you were supposed to be praying, preparing yourself for the Gethsemane moment. When the Gethsemane moment hits, some people are even running naked. If you read the Bible, they remove the clothes and they run. They just run. That is how desperate they were to save their lives. Yeah. All of the sudden, the person that was helping, teaching, training, doing everything, he becomes the devil. It becomes the devil. I tell you, the offense is great. Some try to use a bit of energy to say that, no, I'm with you. Because there are other people there. So they take a sword and they try to show that they are fighting for you. But the next minute, a small girl, is enough to reveal their true heart. A small girl. What is going to happen when you hear something that is offensive? What is going to happen to you? Will you continue attending church? Will you continue praying? Will you continue seeking God? What will happen when you hear a report and this and that? As if those things are not saying about God told us that those things will happen. Well, how are you going to handle it? I'm interested to know. How are you going to handle it? Because some people, nothing major has happened, but they're already agitated. They're already scattered. Like the whip hasn't hit the shepherd. They just lifted it like, No. Let me find refuge. Yeah.
Seeing your leader struggles
can offend you,
can affect you, can change your heart. I can count many people that are no more with me today because they saw my trouble. As if I shouldn't have troubles like everybody else. They saw my little trouble, and my little trouble offended them.
They got offended. They got offended. I want to read for you something that Paul, a man who went through a lot of trouble, at some point, Paul says, "They've all abandoned me, but I'm not alone because the Lord Jesus is with me." But Paul made mention of one person in particular that was not offended at his troubles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." He was not ashamed. Paul was in jail, chained as a criminal, and nobody wanted to associate with Paul anymore. But Onesiphorus will come to the prison. Onesiphorus will sit next to Paul. And Paul could communicate some writings to churches through him because he was not ashamed of the chains of Paul. When the trouble of Jesus came, the people that had said so many things changed. They couldn't handle it. When they saw Jesus being stripped naked, flogged, beaten, insulted, smacked, the trouble of their leader offended them. They couldn't handle it. They enjoyed the bread, the loaves, the fish, the miracles, the power, but the trouble, they were not ready for it. Brothers and sisters, this is one major true wish Satan will want to get to your heart. By attacking your shepherd, causing you to see some troubles of your shepherd, causing you to see things that you are not seeing so that you can be offended, but so you can pray. So you can support better. But Onesiphorus is a few. People who will see your chains, but they will not be ashamed. They will see your chains and rather come and refresh you. It's as if leaders are supermen that never need anything. Oh, what a mistake. Onesiphorus realized, "Paul refreshed me so many times. Now it's my turn to do something, to pray, to be there, to support." You know, when I was preparing this message, I asked myself a question. God forbid, but if I was ever taken to the situation that Paul found himself, you know, I asked myself, who will come to visit me? To be honest, I couldn't think of a lot of people. I couldn't think of a lot of people, to be honest with you. If I'm not in this type of situation Paul was in, who will want to associate with me? This is why churches are weak. Because the bonds are very weak. God has sent this message to us. He said, "Guys, I want to take you far. But we can't go far with these weak links. We need to make a decision that these commitments will become marital commitments. Stronger. Stronger. You cannot allow little things that happen to you in the church to offend you so much. You don't come for prayer. You don't come to services. You don't come anymore. You are out." No, your link was weak. It was very weak. Small correction, you are out. Small rejection, you are out. No. No, we cannot build anything sustainable like that. We need to dig deeper now. I'm challenging anybody watching and listening. Dig a bit deeper. Maybe you've never committed yourself to say, you know what? I think because nothing bad has happened to you yet, you are just going with the flow. You are in a momentum. But momentum don't last. We need intentionality. I need to intentionally decide. This is what I'm sending. This is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Onesiphorus didn't become Onesiphorus by accident. He made a decision. I'm not going to forget Paul. I'm not going to behave funny towards Paul just because things have changed for him. I want to be there for him. Praise the Lord. Can you stand on your feet this morning? And I want you to pray, especially on this last point. All the 7 points are important. Pray on rejection. Pray on undermining, correction, all of them. In fact, pray on the ones that have touched you the most, that God will have mercy on you this morning. God will have mercy on us. Because I don't know when the next offense will hit. But when it does, may it find you ready. Let's all pray this morning in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Magala vele brende zipre kandura mandara baraba. Oh, Lord, we pray for mercy this morning. We pray for a change of mind, a change of heart. Somebody is praying for healing, that you will heal and restore them this morning, Lord. Take away the offense. Take away the pain. Also to reconstruct our minds in a certain way, as to know how to respond, as to know how to react when the time comes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. This morning I want to pray for you. If you are in this service and you are not born again, I want you to know that we've rejected God and we said yes to Satan. And we broke the heart of the Father by doing that. But this morning you can reverse that rejection and rather reject Satan and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to say yes to Jesus today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment, in a prayer of surrender to Jesus. I accept Jesus. John 1:11. He came to his own. They rejected him. Don't join that group. Be among those who accepted him. Among those who receive him. If you are saying yes to Jesus this morning, at the count of three, I want you to raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. God bless you. God bless you. And you are also saying yes to Jesus to say, Lord, I recommit myself to you today. You've loved me. You've helped me. I recommit my heart to you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3. God bless you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.